One up to the teaching platform here. Please welcome her, Jeannie Linfeld.
Thank you. God bless you all. Please be seated. Wow, that was quite an introduction to, or an honor to all of our mothers, women here. We could just leave right now. But I know God's word is why we meet and gives us such strength. But boy, I can't wait to share some of those things with my daughter and my daughter-in-laws, or daughter-in-loves, as Mary McGarry used to say, my daughter-in-love. Today I want to share how important it is for mothers to teach their children the truth. And I don't want you men to start snoring or losing interest because I'm talking about mothers, because all of us have a responsibility in the body of Christ. And, you know, actually, it says that there's neither Jew nor Gentile, male or female, but the importance that God has set on each of our lives, male and female, is to represent Him. And a mother's love is that encouragement and nurturing that we have. And a father's love, we'll hear more of that next month. But what God wants is for us to put Him first and not allow the distractions of the world to steal the amazing life our Heavenly Father has designed for each one of us. So I've titled my teaching, A Mother's Heart, Loving the World Out of Them. We want to love the world out of our children, not in them. We want to take the world out and give them the greatness of that life that we have in Christ. God intended a mother to be a teacher of the truth. When we were in Boston and Susie was just 4 years old and was still in, before she'd start school, I was in the grocery store and a lady said, "Well, where does your daughter go to preschool?" And I go, "She goes to mommy's school." And she goes, "Oh, where is that?" I go, "That's at home, because I think she can learn more from me than she can at any other preschool." And the lady quit talking to me. I don't know if she was embarrassed or didn't believe in my philosophy or what, but it was pretty interesting. In Proverbs 31:25, it says, "Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come." And another translation says, "And she smiles at the future." And I was so blessed this morning because on the refreshment table, Alta has that same verse. That she smiles at the future means that she's confident in the future for her children because she knows the word and she's teaching the word to them. Love causes us to have boldness and the courage to protect our children from the worldly influences that surround them. Once they start school, they will be bombarded with influences that will not be God-centered. That's why home must be a protective place, protective haven. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 6. And this is how we are to teach our children. If you want to turn to that. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, we start. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." What are those words? To love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what we're to teach. "You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." And I love that song with all the different activities that the mom does. That was just perfect. "You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." See how important God's word is for our children, for us to teach, for us to carry the word to the next generation. All of us have that responsibility. So I don't see anyone sleeping. That's good. Thank you. We teach by being an example for our children, and Vicki's going to share some of the practical side of teaching our children. It is a very important role of parents, guardians, grandparents, the body of Christ, that our children are instructed in the things of God. What is more important to our children, having college degrees or being instructed in the way of eternal life? And sometimes we have to think about that, because the world is pushing, what paper do you have? And yet, we don't need paper for eternal life. But it's so wonderful that we have that speaking in tongues. We have the Word of God. We know the truth. We know the future. One of the sweetest songs written, I think, is "This World Is Not My Home. I'm Just a Passing Through." Well, that's the melody should remind us every day that God lives in us, bringing heaven on earth. So we don't need this world to satisfy us. We need God and His love and the hope of Christ's return to satisfy each one of us. Christ is coming back for a glorious church, not a passive body of Christ. We are to fight the good fight of faith. And one of the things that an aspect of a mother that I really want to share today is her strength. That we need to be courageous and we need to be strong, not passive, you know, just not lovey-dovey. A lot of times we think about, oh, mom's just so lovey-dovey, but we got to stand up and protect our children. And that's the strength that I want to share with you today. We need to teach them the truth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, if you'd like to turn to that, I'm going to share the NLT version. It says, "So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever." How often do we get caught up on what's on the news, causing us to worry about the future? And yet we are God's masterpieces. He knows the very thoughts before we even speak them. He knows us intimately. So He reproves us in saying, He has not given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. And what does the world offer us? Fear. Right. We have a future. Jeremiah 29:11-13 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you seek for me with all your heart." That's the Word of God. That's the relationship that we have. And that's what we need to teach our children. That God hears our prayers. I grew up thinking that you never know when God's going to strike you down because you probably did something wrong. And you probably didn't even know it. I used to always say when we go to the confessional, I would get tired of my disobeying God or disobeying my parents or telling a lie. Like, they had a book that had actual other sins you could come up with, so I'd take a few extra ones to make life a little more exciting. But you know, we have a Savior that took away those sins, and when we do go off the mark, we just say, "I'm sorry, Father," because we have that intimate relationship. And He doesn't hold anything against us, and that's the way we need to teach our children, that they are loved and protected. One important instinctive trait of a mother is to protect her children from harm. And at this present time, we need to guard them with the truth. Another blessing I had this morning was Alta had in her flowers a little mama bear. And that was something I have on my teaching today. So it was just so cool. We need to be courageous. And 3 John chapter 1, verse 4 says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth." The truth will set them free. We want to teach them what a loving Father, Heavenly Father, we have. He loves unconditionally, protects, provides, forgives, does not want us to fear, but have power and love and a sound mind. There's no condemnation to them in Christ Jesus. We certainly don't want to remind our children of their faults, but teach them that they are fearfully and wonderfully made. Many of you know Michael Capodici. Bob and I have been involved with his life for many years. In fact, he lived with us twice for 9 months each time. And he had some challenges, but we loved him up. The first time, we actually had to take him somewhere because those 9 months, we couldn't help him. Took him somewhere where he could get help. And then the second time he came, and he had his ups and downs, but the second time he came, he stayed another 9 months. And after the end of the 9 months, we had to kick him out of the nest because it was time for him to fly. And yesterday, we are proud to announce his graduation from Kenneth Copeland Bible College. He's been there. He graduated after 2 years of studying there. He was an exemplary student. They, in fact, are thinking of doing a 3-year and want him to help structure the 3rd year college. So you never give up on people. And we're just so proud of him because he has a lot of challenges. And sometimes we get caught up in addictions. And what addictions basically are the adversary getting in there because we have some hurt in our life. And we don't look at people for what the outside looks like. We look at the heart. And we just never give up. And that's one wonderful thing about a mother is we don't give up. We just hold that, the greatness, that love for our children. And love covers the multitude of sins. There's no greater warrior than a mother protecting her child. Perhaps no animal proves this more than a mama bear protecting her cubs. Mama bears nurture, love, serves, and protects. She's cautious, watchful, and very cautious. You don't want to get between a mama bear and her cub. The strength of a mother's heart is just like that. Don't tell me anything about my child that is not going to build them up. Yes, I want to be aware if there's something that they're doing that's not right. But usually God can help us do that. And we want to watch. A mother bear is protective of who comes near her child, watching carefully the people who come in and out of their lives. And it was interesting yesterday when Sean came by, who's the boyfriend of one of Susie's friends, and Heidi, her friend, was just considering a job in St. Louis at the same company that Jeremy works at with her degree. So I was kind of telling him, you know, what a great opportunity, and Susie can have another friend. Susie's called Susie Jacuzzi, and Heidi was Heidi Hot Tub. They met in the jacuzzi. So they are good friends. But I thought that was cute. Matthew 23:37 says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers, how often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings. But you won't let me. That little hen protects her chicks. You know, God has set so much in nature of how important that mom is. That mom is there till the very end, teaches and instructs and protects. And doesn't God hold us under the shadow of his wings? You know, does God have wings? Of course not. But it gives us a picture of how good he is. And that's the example that we have. He tells us in Isaiah 49:15, can a woman forget her sucking child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget. There may be few that will forget. Yet I will not forget you. The bond of a mother is very strong and powerful. We want to teach our children and one another that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that God made no mistakes. He loves, forgives, provides a perfect hope, our Lord Jesus Christ. The world is now saying you can choose who you want to be, male or female. That was not God's design, and it never will be. He knew us in our mother's womb. When you have a chance today, you might look at Psalm 139. Just a very intimate relationship that we have with him. Without the truth, pride, hurt, and confusion are the results. And that's what the world offers. And we don't want our children to know that. Humility towards God is the antidote against what the world has to offer. Today, the world is fighting to erase history and our Christian heritage, fighting against any trusting in God, and wants to spread the same old lie that we can be our own God. We want to encourage, we are all important and all lives matter. Don't we all have a hunger to be loved and needed? Well, the only perfect love is God's love. Every other love will fall short. That love comes with knowing our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ, and the loving Heavenly Father that longs for our fellowship. We want to teach our children to be bold and courageous. They are a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. They can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth them. That their lives are important to believe and teach the truth to the next generation. They are all superheroes following our Savior, Jesus Christ. And when I retired almost 7 years ago, I started playing with paper dolls. And I made a super Christ, super Savior. You know, he's better than any Superman because he's real. Superman is not. That's what we need to do for our children. 1 John 2:15 and 16 are a great message for God's children. And this is the NLT version. It says, "Do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for anything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever." Isn't that something? It's time we take a stand and fight spiritually. Bring out those mama's claws and fight for our children. We fight spiritually in prayer and sharing the gospel. We want to love the world out of all of our lives. In the book of Acts, the religious leaders were very upset that the disciples, the apostles, were standing for the word, and they taught the word. And these religious leaders saw the miracles, but what could they do? They had to stop it. So they thought, well, we could persecute them. But what did God inspire Peter to say? We ought to obey God rather than men. And that's what we need to teach our children. God's love and grace gives us freedom, and that's what we want for our children. So now, Vicki is going to share how to practically apply these truths.
Come on. I'm on. Wow, that was really sweet. That was some of the same verses. But we knew that would happen, didn't we? Yeah, absolutely. Well, that was, the importance of teaching our children the word. And man, that is one of the greatest responsibilities a mom can have. And when we want to be who God has called us to be, being that example to our children is a very important thing. Knowing who we are in Christ, knowing what God has worked within us as an individual, makes us great moms. That's what really makes us great moms, is that we know who we are in Christ. We know what God has done in our lives, and we've seen many people's lives touched by God's word and changed. And, you know, when we get children in our lives, and I'm saying this because there's people in this room that are maybe aunties or the best friend of your mom or a cousin. And yet I've seen in my son's life and in our son's life, Joshua, when he was little, there were Shelley is his cousin. And yet she stepped in there and loved him in ways that, you know, I couldn't touch, because just it's that way sometimes. And aunties, sometimes an aunt fills the role of a mother in a woman's life or a son or a man's life. I mean, there are many ways that our children are taught the word, and there's many ways that we can love them and they can be loved by many people. But the center of that, if it's going to be profitable, has to be what Jeannie taught, the word of God. And I want to look at Proverbs 22:6, because without that first step of the word dwelling within us as moms and individuals, and many of the things we're teaching here this morning really works in the family of God. This is how we're to teach each, train, set the example and love each other in the body of Christ. You know, that's what makes it humble. That's what keeps us humble as believers. That's what keeps us moving ahead, is the love of God being manifested in our hearts towards each other. So Proverbs 22:6, this is a familiar verse. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, this is not a promise that your children, if you train them up in the word, will never take an exit road for a while, because many of them do. And then they come right back on the road down the street. So training up a child isn't just it's not just when they're little. You know what I mean? Training up a child, the Oxford Dictionary says, to train someone means to teach a person a particular skill and type of behavior through practice and instructions over a period of time. This is something that takes time. When we get those little bundles in our arms, everything seems just so wonderful and perfect, and this is how it's going to be. And you know what? It's not like that. This is a commitment between a mother and a father to God, that we will train up. We will take the time. We will take the time that's needed to teach this child who he is in Christ, who she is in Christ, to teach them what it means to obey a parent's voice, to teach them that God should be the center of their universe and not something else. And that doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. And it starts when we put those kids in our arms, when God gives us those children, and they take their first breath. That's when it starts. It starts for us as moms and dads. That moment, that child is given to us by God. And God instructs us what we're supposed to do with this thing that doesn't have a book on how to do it that comes out with him or her. No, but God gives us the direction from his word. And it starts then, and for many of us, I got to chuckle, because for many of us, it ends when we take our last breath. It doesn't end when they get married and go away or go to school. We're still their mom and dads. We still pray for them. We still teach them the word. We still share things with them about life that focuses their hearts and lives on God and the power of God that they have within them and how God does not leave them nor forsake them. These are the principles. This is the foundation that they need. And we have the responsibility and the privilege of feeding them that from the time they take their breath till we take our last breath, or Christ comes back and then, hey, God's got it all. But you know, right now, we have the responsibility, and God is pretty clear that it's the parents' responsibility. And yes, there's members of the body of Christ, and there's other people in their lives that can help and contribute to that. But Jeannie read this, but I want to read it again, at least this one section of Deuteronomy 6:6-7, because this is what God expects from us. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. And those words are the words of God. Now, just remember that. Training up a child in the way he should go is what God tells us to do. I don't care what the world says to do. It doesn't matter to me how they think I should treat my child. I treat my child and I do the things that are going to benefit his life that God has put in my heart and life and the understanding I have to help direct him. So, and these words which I've commanded you today shall be in your heart. Okay? They need to be in our heart. That's how you do it. You put those things in your heart. You shall teach them haphazardly once in a while when everybody around you agrees. No, you shall teach them diligently, diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house. So when you're at home, what do you talk to your kids about? You know, when you read them little books, do you read them books about God? Do you refer to who God is in their lives? When you sit and shall talk to them, when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way. I love to take Josh when he was little on walks in the park and point out flowers. See what God did? Look at how God created. Isn't that, now look how different that one is. I mean, it's our world is full of God. And that's what our children should be taught from the time they're old enough to walk and even before then. And when you lie down and when you rise up. So when you go to sleep, when you wake up, when you walk, when you sit, guess what? God expects us to diligently put his word in their hearts. This isn't a one-time thing. It is a lifetime responsibility. How do we be the best moms we can be? We do God's word in front of our children. We are an example. In 2 Timothy, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's how you train up a child. That's how we train him up. Them up, her up, him up. We have to be a living example of what God's scriptures represent. Then you're going to be the best mom, the best dad. We teach and live the word of God in our own lives day by day. Our kids' behavior many times is a mirror of what they see us do. So sometimes when you're off the mark, and we all do that, no parent is a perfect parent, so let's just get that right. The only perfect father we have is the Creator. But we can do our best. And many times our children will mimic and say the same things we say and do. Kids' little ears, they hear everything. Their eyes, they see everything. And sometimes it shocks you when something comes out. It's like, whoa, where did he hear that? And then you go, well, who is he around? Who's he with? And then they soak it up. I mean, kids soak it up. They love to learn. And we are their focus for the first few years of their lives. And many times that falls on mommy because dad's out making, you know, a living and he's doing things outside of the house more than most mothers do. And sometimes women have to work in these days and times. So in that situation, my advice is be sure you know who you're leaving your child with. When Josh was little, I did have to work a part-time job, but God provided Kathy Roth. And she's another one that was a big influence on Joshua's life. And she took care of him while I was at work. And my heart was at peace the whole time because I knew that God had provided this beautiful woman that loves her son, who's only a couple months older than Josh, as much as she loves my son, as much as she loves her son. And the time she spent with him is honestly an honor to that. And there's Trish Fonda. You know, Josh has grown up. He's the only child, but we've lived with people his whole life. And Trisha Fonda, through the years that her and Ken lived with us, while Josh was still in high school, even in college, even a year ago when he came home because he made the decision to go to law school and he needed to live with us for a year to get some money and stuff in order, Trisha Fonda would help Josh with stuff. And it's like having, she's like Aunt Trisha. You know, she is an important part of his life. And that's what we want to surround our children with. That's what God encourages us to do. The things this world will push on them, and the adversary will do everything he can from the time they're old enough to walk around to grab their hearts and minds and fill their heads with the things of this world. And it is a battle. And we have to remember as moms and dads, you know what? This is a spiritual battle. You're not getting my son. You're not getting my kid. I'm going to be the man or the woman I need to be. Sometimes I know situations like Bob McCall kind of has a situation in his life where he was the primary carer of his children as they were growing up. And you know what? He was a dad mom, a mom dad. I mean, he had to put on both faces for those kids. And yet God provided him the strength, the knowledge of the word to do that. God works in every situation of our kids' lives. But we have to start with ourselves. We have to be their example that they look at and can see. This just isn't, oh, I'm going to send them to church. Mom and dad, this is what they really believe. This is who they are. And when we teach them God's way of loving, there is no greater thing than we can teach them. And manifesting it in our own lives is the greatest teacher of that. The greatest example, of course, is John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And if you read verse 17, it also talks about how he didn't come into the world to condemn the world. He came in the world to save the world. Well, God doesn't give us children to boss around. He gives us children to teach them his word. And we do that by the living example in our own lives. So teach them. Teach them. Teach them about renewing their minds, Romans 12:1. I remember when I think Josh was maybe 6 weeks old, and my sister and my mom were there. And he had been fussing. I didn't need a diaper change. He wasn't hungry. He'd been fed. He was just fussy. So I was holding him, and I was talking to him, and I said, Josh, you need to change your mind. There's nothing wrong with you. You've had your bottle, your diaper's dry, your mom loves you. You need to change your mind. You need to renew your mind, son. My mother went, what are you doing? That baby doesn't know what you're saying. That baby doesn't. Don't tell him that. That baby doesn't know what you mean. I said, Mom, God created this baby. And he created each one of us with a brain. And our brains were created to hold his word. So although he does not understand what I'm saying today, when I have to tell him when he's 2 years old or 3 years old, Josh, stop, change your mind, go do something else. Renewing his mind is not going to be a word he's never heard. He'll learn. He'll understand. God can use that when he's older. That's why I'm telling him that. Well, I just don't understand that. Oh, it's okay, Mom. You don't have to understand it. But just know that Joshua is going to be a kid that is going to be easy to deal with. And he was. Because he was taught the word. We had a young man that moved in with us when I think Josh was 5 or 6. And Josh was having one of the days where he wasn't exactly a happy camper. But that's okay. So I told him in front of this other young man, I said, Josh, you need to change your mind. Because this is only going to get you in more trouble. So why don't you go to your room, get a book that you want to read, and we'll go sit down and read it. And he's like, and then he walks out. And the guy, you know, Mike was standing there looking at me. And pretty soon here comes Josh with 2 books. Can you read me 2 books? I said, sure, let's sit down. Later, Mike was sitting. I have never seen a kid change his mind like that before. So I told him the story about my mom and that when I had done that. It is powerful when we put the word of God in our children's hearts, when we teach them, when we live that example, God has huge abilities to bring that to their remembrance years later. You know, like he's in, like now when he's off as an adult, I know that God works in him. I know he looks to God to work in him. It's an amazing thing, the responsibility we have as parents. It is really important to teach them about prayer. It is really important to teach them about obedience. But you do it with love, and you do it with the word of God. You show them, you teach it to them, and you live it. That is really important because if a child does not understand how to obey their parents, it is going to be a harder transition when they get to be adults to obey God. they won't even understand the process of the importance of it. And teaching your children to obey is what God tells us to do in Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I said it, but God wrote it. He said it first. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Parents, teach your children that valuable principle, for this is right. Honor your father and mother with the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. I love that part of Ephesians chapter 6. Do it. Why? What's why? So that you will be, have a long life and you will have a happy life. And then it says in verse 4, and you fathers, which we'll talk about, you know, next month. You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. And mothers, that applies to us too. Sometimes we can get sleepy, tired. Then, you know what? Ask for help. You know, there were times when I needed to just a break. I could call Shelly and say, Shelly, you want to spend time with Josh? Yeah, Vicki, when? And she would take him. They'd have a good time. I'd have a relaxing time, some time in the Word maybe I hadn't had like before, you know. Use the people, not use in a bad way, but utilize who God has put around you in your life to help bring up those children. But the responsibility is not on a village. The responsibility is on the parents. We need each other in the family of God, and helping with children is a great opportunity. But it is the parents' responsibility. And don't allow the world to tell you how to raise your child. You raise your child according to the dictates of God's word, not any other way. There are so many ways we can plant the seed of God's word in our children's life that we will never see the fruit of sometimes, but the fruit will be there and they will see it. They will experience it. Our goal in training up our children in God's word should be to have a loving respect for each member in our family and to give our children a desire to grow in their relationship with their heavenly Father. That is the greatest thing we can teach them, is God's love and who they are in Christ, and that he is there for them even when we're gone, even when we're somewhere else. That is how we practically apply training up our children in the word. And each child is different, and God will give you little details to help in situations, but it will always be in the love of God, and it will always be with God at the center of their hearts and lives. So I think that is a great thing that God taught us to do from his word. And we really, as parents, need to lock onto it. And our children will be productive, healthy, spiritual men and women. So God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Well, it's been a wonderful morning. I'm going to sign off.